Important dates in Christian history. 1536. John Calvin publishes The Institutes of the Christian Religion, the most substantial theological work of the Reformation. Calvin's ideas would deeply influence church and politics in Switzerland and Scotland and take root in the newly discovered North America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, boy.
Gabe remained in a coma for 18 days until Ginger, a close family friend, came to the hospital.
And a miracle worker.
I looked at him and I said, Gabe, you know my voice. You know when I pray. I know you can hear me. I know you're unconscious, but I know that you know I'm here. I'm going to pray that you wake up. You've got to wake up. You cannot stay in this coma.
That is the voice of Ginger, the resurrector. This is Wretched Radio, Fox News. Wow. Must have been a really good press release because they decided to interview a young man who claims to have gone to heaven for 18 days. He was in a coma, definitely was in an accident. I'm glad that he's well. But whatever it is that he experienced, it is not what he claims it was, a heavenly visitation. How do I know this? The Bible tells me so. Furthermore, when you come back and you start to claim this is what Jesus said, if it is already what Jesus has said, we don't need it. If it is not something Jesus said, because we believe that the canon of Scripture is closed, then this is extra biblical revelation. That's exactly what these books are all about.
So you're in heaven and then you wake up. And what happens? People had a lot of questions, I bet.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I was sent back to my body and I woke up. And before Jesus sent me back, he said, Gabriel, tell them who I really am.
Okay. I think that mandate has already been given. Do we need that?
And he said, tell my family I'm coming back soon to get them.
Yeah. We already know that. He's coming back soon. Yay. Come, Lord Jesus. Why would we need this young man to be suctioned up to heaven to return and tell us what has already been written in the Bible for 2,000 years? The answer is we wouldn't.
Tell them I'm coming back soon. Wow.
Yes. And when he said family, it wasn't just like one particular denomination or sect. Like it was seriously like the family of God. Like all, like in heaven, we're all one family. Like it's so beautiful. And now I'm telling everyone that's listening to the sound of my voice, like he died for them. Like there's one viewer listening to the sound of my voice, and the one viewer is why he sent me back. And since being sent back, I've just told everyone my testimony, whether it's on a bus or on TV, I tell them the same story.
Yeah.
See, that's the assault on the Bible right there. That people, instead of just saying, hey, would you like to know what's going to happen to you when you die? Thus saith the Lord. This young man is going around saying, thus say I. This was my experience. This is why you should believe in Jesus Christ.
And, you know, I fully believe everything. But there had to have been doubters who said, there's no way that happened. Yep. What did you say to the doubters?
Can't wait to hear.
Yeah, well, I said, well, open your Bible to the book of Revelation because it was actually John's encounter with Jesus.
Okay, hold on right there, son. Yes, it was. It was a vision from whom? An apostle who had been with Jesus Christ.
Heaven, that he then was sent back and wrote all about, right?
No. He wasn't sent back. That's the distinction here. This young man claims, I was sent back. John said, I had a vision.
And so we also know Daniel and Ezekiel.
Now just consider what this young man is saying. He's on that level. He's Ezekiel-like. He's John-like. God has chosen him to take a special trip to heaven. And by what authority? How do I know what this young man is saying is true? What is his authority? And the answer is, short of signs and wonders, he doesn't have any. This is nothing but speculation.
Isaiah, like there's, biblically speaking, actually, there's a very biblical precedent for having encounters with Christ and telling the story.
Encounters with Christ, define what you mean by that. Furthermore, when you list those people, Ezekiel and Daniel, Moses, for instance, just seeing God face to face, being hidden in the cleft of the rock, of course, but But this is the number of individuals that have had any sort of vision, Isaiah, John, Paul. What are we talking about here? Like six guys over the course of 6,000 years? And now 2,000 years after the Bible has been closed, this young man, now I'm the new Isaiah, I'm the new Ezekiel. The chutzpah behind this is absolutely staggering. That they think that they are on, that God chose them for this special mission. Ooh.
And even Jesus said, he that believes on me will never die. My body might have died and I was sent back and I was healed, but I was fully alive in him.
Wow.
Okay, that, wow. Yeah, wow, what, huh?
And you know, we've had conversations on this show with others who have been through the same situation. And a common refrain we have heard is, this is not real life. That was real life.
Yeah.
Was that your experience, that that life was the real one? It's hard for me to conceive that, but it's a common theme.
It, real life, I, you know, words aren't very well considered in this interview. Is that the ultimate life? Yes. Is that going to be life the way that it's supposed to be? Yes. Yes, it is. But that doesn't mean that this isn't real. This is real. This is broken. So language kind of means something here.
It's so true. And I'm so thankful, actually, John Burke, who endorsed my book.
We had him on.
Yes, yeah. He endorsed my book. And we,
Jimmy, would you be so kind to look up one Sean Burke?
I will.
And what's he all about?
Talk all the time about just how he's here at all these other encounters, and I'll tell him the same exact thing, because this life, I compare it to when TV first came out in the early 1900s. It seemed real to people. It seemed so fascinating, but you compare that quality now to what people are watching now, it's like out of this world. Like the HD of today is nowhere near what it used to be in the 1900s. Well, it's even that times 1,000. Like heaven is so real.
I have no idea what that was about.
And it's not just seven senses. Your seven senses are manifold. They come alive. And you're not only smelling and tasting and hearing, but it's that times 1,000.
Okay.
It's literally unexplainable.
Yeah.
Okay. Then why'd you write a book about something that's unexplainable?
Unexplainable. And, you know, our days on this earth are numbered. I may have one more. I may have many more. And I hope it's many more. But what do you say to people as we approach life and the hurts and the troubles and wars and all of the horrible things that happen here? What's your message?
Yeah, we can find our hope in not just a God who considers loving us, not just a God who maybe can love us. I met a Jesus that didn't think about loving me. He was love to me. He is love to me, and he will forever be love to me. Like I was his and he was mine.
Okay. Little gloppy, but having said that, nothing we don't know. Nothing. Do we not know that Jesus loves sinners? Is that nowhere in the Bible? And do we just have a hint of that message? No, it is all throughout the Bible. It's the most popular verse from the Bible, at least if you go to a football game, specifically in the end zone. This is just information that we simply don't need. Jimmy, what's a Sean Burke?
It's John Burke, I think is what he said. John Burke. And he is he used to be the former pastor of Gateway Church in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he has studied.
Oh, Gateway, that's Robert Morris, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, got it.
And he has studied near-death experiences and people with these stories of heaven a lot. He has several books on it himself.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
It's a little cottage industry, but I hadn't been hearing of any of these. This is the big one as of late, but it's honestly, I thought it's been years since we've heard these heavenly tourism tales being told. When I was 12, something like a 12, I had a terror of death, just horrified of death. I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew the name of Jesus, of course, but I remember a buddy from it, I think it must have been, it was even in grade school. So whatever, like that would have been in grade school, whatever that age is, said that he saw a picture. Somebody showed him a picture. They were in an airplane. They took a picture out the window and saw Jesus walking on the clouds. And I remember going, I want to see it. I want to see it. Let me see this picture so that I can have proof sufficient for me, so that I could believe in the one who walks on the clouds. I get it. There's this desire, but that is precisely the problem with these books. We already have something, said Peter, who did see Jesus in a, this was not a vision. This was Jesus in the transfiguration, giving them a glimpse of his divinity, just a glimpse of it. It would kill them if they saw the whole thing. His shining through his humanity. He saw that. And what did he say about that? Hey, everybody, I saw this thing. Therefore, you should believe in Jesus. No, he said, we have a more sure word than actually the story, the report of a man who saw divine human Jesus. We have a more sure word. The Bible is a better source. The Bible is more certain. The Bible is more authoritative. We simply don't need these other tales, and I get people's appetite for it, but if people want to know about heaven, they need to go read their Bibles. And if people don't think that that is sufficient and that they need an extra sign, they need specific for God to reveal to them something a little bit more. Why would this kid's book be better than the Bible? The answer is, it isn't. In fact, it's worse than that. It's anti-Bible. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Seriously, I mean it. Thank you so much for being a part of what we do here at Fortis Institute, not just with Wretched Radio, but with all of our other content that we're producing on a daily basis. Whatever keeps you coming back and showing up, we don't take that lightly. There is a reality about all of this, and that's that producing daily radio like Wretched takes resources. It takes studio time, equipment, staff, distribution, and it all adds up. And the reason that we are able to continue doing this at the level that we've been doing it is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who have linked arms with us and give to this ministry so that we can stay on the air and reach more people in more places all over the world. And so if our ministry has ever been a source of encouragement for you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the answers to all of the questions that you likely have at FortisInstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually. And eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man. There's a lot of Christian content out there that sounds deep, but it actually isn't. It's inspirational. It's nice, but it doesn't actually help you when life gets hard. Fortis Forums are completely different. We're talking about how to comfort someone who's grieving and what Scripture actually says, not just what sounds nice. We're talking about marriage when things aren't easy and mental health and whether the Bible has real answers. Biblical manhood for a generation that's never been really given a model to follow. These are in-depth conversations with people like Dr. Jason Lyle, Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and Dr. John Krotz, teachers who take the Bible seriously and don't shy away from the hard topics. These Fortis Forums are all on Fortis Plus for you to watch right now for free. And they're ready when you are. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org and see what biblical depth actually looks like.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is prophecy. Prophetic books record God's warnings to Israel and other nations of the consequences of continued rebellion against Him and the blessings waiting those who trust Him for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ken Copeland. strikes again. This is Wretched Radio. Not only did young Gabe Poirot, who studied under Ken Copeland, claim to have taken a little vacation for 18 days to heaven to be sent back to tell us everything that we've already read in the Bible. Yeah, that's right. But was reading another article of a pastor. I've actually seen this guy at recent Ken Copeland, whatever they call them, money bilking schemes thing, event conferences that they do. His name is Hank Kuhneman, and he's had enough of commercial flying. Hey, haven't we all? And so what do you know? Ken Copeland told him it's time for you to buy a private jet. And the details and the quotes from this man are absolutely, well, they're disgusting is what they are. Let me share this with you. It's from Christian Post had this. This fellow, Hank Kuhneman, he's the senior pastor. Jimmy, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Does his wife co-pastor with him by any chance?
Absolutely.
Ah, Lord of Hosts Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Founder of One Voice Ministries. I can't afford with my schedule and what I'm doing to be your pastor here, to fight alongside with God, to fight for your children alongside of you, to fight for this country alongside of you, to be stuck in an airport somewhere and be gone for 3-4 days or to not get back for a Sunday. So I want to start a travel fund. Wow, this guy's really important. I mean, he thinks he's really important. I think that's how a lot of these guys justify these ridiculous expenditures, whether it's a private jet, it's a mansion on the ocean. I just needed to do ministry. In order for me to be effective, in order for me to get things done, I need to have a private jet. Nobody's that important. But this man apparently thinks that he is. So he's starting a fund. And guess what? His wife is all for it, claiming it's difficult for him to continue all the work God has appointed him to do while dealing with long lines and messy airlines. Hey, you preach, brother. You preach. I feel you, man. Now, it's not like you could. Messy lines. There's the what's the thing that I always look at and go, I should do that, and I never get around to it. It's where you get screened in advance. And you get to go through a faster line.
Pre-check. TSA pre-check.
See, I was trying to make it appear like I'm just choosing not to say the word as opposed to I couldn't remember. Yeah, pre-check. That's what it's. There's clear also, if I'm not. That's something like that, I think. Nevertheless, you can, in a sense, cut the line. But that apparently uses up too much time for this very, 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 very important preacher. He said he was headed to Boise, Idaho when his flight got delayed last Thursday. Since he needed to be at that meeting, he said he made the sacrifice. He made the sacrifice to charter a private jet despite the expense. This man is so, so sacrificial. He made the sacrifice. Quote, this is really quite galling. Because I'm so dedicated to God and to you, the people and I am dedicated to the United States to fight for it. Brenda, I feel like I'm supposed to be there at all cost, he told his wife and ministry partner. I know we're paying a lot of money here, but Brenda, I'm pressed. You know where the Bible says Jesus was pressed to go to Jerusalem? I'm not sure the word pressed is compelled, but not pressed. I don't know what word that is. I felt pressed that I have to do this. I don't need another thing to do. That's not why I do it. It's because I'm trying to be obedient alongside of you and with you. And if you know me, there's no quitting me. And then this is, if you thought it couldn't get any worse. He said he asked God for a scripture to share with his followers to justify this ridiculous pastoral expense. Jimmy, you want to take a guess what verse he used to justify the fund for a private jet?
No.
I'm going to let you look it up.
Okay.
Look up Mark 3:9. Mark 3:9. He used this detail in a historical narrative to justify what does a jet cost these days. I haven't shopped for them for a while, so I'm a little, I don't know what the modern day pricing is, but it's got to be millions, right?
65, probably.
No.
Yeah, I bet you it's something in that range.
You've been shopping?
No.
All right, what's Mark 3:9 say? Let's see if you can get it.
And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him.
There it is. Jesus had a boat ready for him. I need a jet.
Such a servant.
Quote, so even Jesus was concerned about going to certain ports and airports and things. Oh, man, Scylla. He had to have smarts because of where his ministry was and how it affected people and how it affected him as a vessel. This guy's comparing himself to Jesus, telling the disciples, hey, have a boat ready. Did they buy the boat? Doesn't tell us in the text. Is a boat comparable to a private jet? No, it's not. Brother Copeland had given us a word, Brenda Kuhneman recalled, noting that the Copeland prophecy happened right before the COVID-19 pandemic began. We're having lunch, and Copeland stands up, you know how Brother Copeland is, and he's got that gruff voice. He goes, hey, I'm going to tell you something. And he stands up and points his finger. You know, when Brother Copeland points his finger, you better listen, right? No, you should probably do the exact opposite. And he said, your days of flying commercial are over. She continued as her husband recalled feeling the Spirit of God on the words. Yes, that's what I'm feeling. But you know, then we're like, well, how do we do that? Well, chartering is a step toward owning a plane. Jimmy, did you go to the church website of this fellow?
Yes.
Are there pictures? How big is it? How many people sit there?
It looks like a lot.
Thousands?
Yeah. I think the membership is about 4,500.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And so what we want to do is keep Pastor on the private jet as much as we can because he's such a servant. I believe that. I'm going to start believing for it actively. I need you back here on Sunday. I didn't want you stuck in an airport to miss today's service. I don't want him going commercial. I wonder, does she fly commercial while he's in the private jet or do they maybe do it together? Why do people go for this stuff? Why do they fall for this chicanery? Why do they buy heavenly tourism books? Why do they give money to a guy to use for a private jet as if he's so important? I'm trying to think of that. If every one of these guys have said that, look, if I'm going to be more effective in ministry, Jesse Duplantis has offered that trope that he's, if I'm going to be able to get all this stuff done, then I've got to be going around in private otherwise because it's more efficient use of my time. I don't know what it costs per hour to fly a private jet. Al Gore would know, ironically. I don't, but it's nobody's that important. Nobody. Does a minister have to eat dirt for Sunday brunch? No, he doesn't. But should he be flying around in a private jet? What does that tell the world? Well, the world gets it. The world totally gets it. Why don't the people at these churches get this? Why do they fall for that? I honestly, every time I see some of these prosperity preachers, and they've got these huge crowds, and it's not uncommon for them to do, you know, they do like 3 hours of music at these events, and then they take an offering. And if there's not enough in the offering, you know what they do? They send the bucket back around again before the celebrity appears on the stage. That, not kidding. That's what they do. How do people not see it? Because I watch these events and I'm like, what is it? What is the attraction to this? It can't be the individual. And tragically, I think the answer is God is answering their prayers. They want somebody to tickle their ears. That's what they want. And God gives it to them. Are these individuals all that charismatic? A lot of trickery, a lot of the same sort of trickery, the walking around, the pausing as if they're getting divine revelation, the speaking in these sentences that appear to be biblical, but they're not. These guys just aren't all that interesting. And yet people go for it because I think that they are an answer to prayer. And I don't think that America is going to be judged because of these guys. I think these guys are a judgment. These guys on so many people who don't want the true gospel, who don't want the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. They want the lesser thing. And they're willing to listen to these knuckleheads and buy the lies of these prosperity hack charlatans because that is what they want. Whew, hope you're happy. We have to witness to those people and share with them there's something better than money. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.